I'm Toto Jay, the member of this intervening panel, and also the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration. Yeah. Could you put on the mic, Mr. Maharaj? Therefore, we'll help you to put on the mic there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please confirm what is contained in your CV briefly, taking into account that we do have the copy of your CV with us? Sure.
Thank you, sir. My CV starts off with my BA law degree. I've studied at the University of Durban West, or now it's called UKZN. I studied my BA law there from 1983 to 1985, and thereafter from 1986 I decided my mum was staying from where my mum was working, and I felt it bad. I mean, every day she's going to work and I'm going to university. She's working for Toyota, she was doing coffee, and I felt very, very bad to see that she's working so hard. And what I did was that I decided to leave university in 1985 at the end of the year. I graduated in 86, but with a BA law degree, and thereafter I worked at Westfield Prison. I got a job there as a public prosecutor. I used to prosecute the members for assaulting prisoners and those who transgress the rules and regulations of the Prison Act. Also, we should prosecute prisoners who disobey the rules and regulations for the proper and effective management of the prison. So I worked there right up to 1989, and then I felt that basically was the same job like every day, and I felt that the BA law I did, it was like half past finished. I might as well go back and do the LLB. But in between, I also did something in commerce there. I felt that chartered accounting was also a good field. I did something, some accounting courses, etc., through UNISA. I passed it, but then once I started to work with the prison property, I felt I was going back into the criminal aspect of law. And then I went back, I started to drive taxis in, I went back in 1990, I went back to campus. And my father then, he started a taxi business. I started to drive taxis in the night. I went to university during the day. I also got married in 1990. My parents falsely said, well, your sister is married and you have to get married now. And so thereafter that I started to drive taxis at night. I did the LLB in 2 years. And after I completed the LLB degree, I started to serve articles at Gillian Singh & Company, which is quite a renowned company in Durban, and also at Singh & Singh. I served my articles, and after I completed my articles, I started my own practice immediately after that. I just worked for 2 months as a professional assistant.
Chairperson, my apologies, if I may. I'm supposed to do this. The chairperson should have advised us for a very limited time. But also it did indicate that we have received your CV, so probably if we are put some time, my apologies to do this.
I feel uncomfortable at times feedback, Jack, because some applicants do become terrified if you, but please take note of what the chairperson is saying and speak to what the chairperson is saying.
Thank you very much, ma'am, bring that to attention, yes. And I thereafter became a practitioner, and while I was a practitioner, I studied, I registered for a master's degree in international business contracts. I basically went right up to the point where I did finalize my thesis. And I also, I wrote a conveyancing exam, I'm also a conveyancer, and I attended lots of conferences. I'm also a member of NADEL, National Association of Democratic Lawyers. And I think that's quite most of that in my CV there. I don't even start anything else there. But, that's it.
Honorable Song.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and also good morning, Mr. Manwright. My apologies for interjecting because I thought it will help to spend more time in the council. Having said that, Chair, my question would be from the assumption that you read the advert and also you did a little bit visit Section 195 of Chapter 10 of the SA Constitution. The Public Service Commission has a constitutional mandate to promote the values and principles of Section 195 of the South African Constitution of the Republic. In your own words, when they are understanding, say, may you kindly take this panel into your confidence, just to say what is your understanding on the functions and of the Public Service Commission and the values and the principles that govern the Public Service Administration. Thank you very much.
Well, the one of the core functions of the Public Service Commission, and which is a very onerous function in the sense that it encompasses a lot. It's investigation, monitoring, evaluating organization in all organizations of state or all organs of state. That is one of the core functions. It has to make sure that the organization is being administered properly. That is, in all sense of the word, we say administration, as far as the employment of the people is concerned, in the finances of the organization is concerned, on the resources of the organization, on the disciplinary of staff of the organization, complaints that the staff have of the organization. So it's quite very broad spectrum. It also has to propose measures in order to give effective and efficient performance in respect of the public service. It also has to give direction to the personnel regarding the recruitment, the transfers, the promotion, and obviously the dismissal. It also has the reporting function. It has to report on the efficacy of the organization, how it is performing, whether it is doing good, whether there's problem in the organization. The portfolio committee has done numerous investigations. One I think was done in Polokwane, or Limpopo, where the organization went into administration. And that is because of the dysfunction of the portfolio committee. They must take a very onerous task in that it's tough with, I feel it's tough with too much with very little people. The government, the organization, the presidency or the constitution treats the organization with such importance in the sense that it reports directly to parliament. It's created with the act of parliament. It reports directly to parliament. But what I see there is that it's given so much of responsibility, but there's less staff. I feel that they should have more staff in order to handle its mandate. Because the thing is that if you look at
I said I don't want to interrupt when you are answering questions. You are asked one question, and you must answer that question that is asked.
Sorry.
Remember, we have many candidates to interview, and this panel, each member is going to ask you a question. If you take an hour in one question from one member, it would not be fine.
Thank you, sir. I would I will adhere to that request, sir. They also have to advise on the national and provincial organs. It also has to, one of its other functions is also to report, at least once a year, it has to report to Parliament on the state of the organization. And, in a nutshell, obviously it has to adhere to ethics, transparency, accountability, all those things.
Honorable Kibi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Mr. Mahara.
Good morning, Ms. Kibi.
I want you to relax.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to ask you two questions. But my first question starts with a preamble. My first question, therefore, as I'm going to be starting, the Public Service Commission function aimed at, among others, to promote the values and principles governing public administration and to give directions aimed at ensuring that personnel procedures comply with the principles. Now my question is, in your own view, is the Public Service Commission making an impact in the public service, and how can the Public Service Commission reposition itself to make an impact given its wider mandate of promoting the values and principles governing public administration? That is my first question. And my second question is, constitutionally, do you think spouse and children of the political representatives and former members should be prevented from doing business with the state? Provide merit for your answer and provide a solution. I thank you, Mr. Mahara.
Thank you, Ms. Kibi. Regarding the first question, I feel that in order for the Public Service Commission to ensure that we have a world-class administration, I feel that we should ensure that, firstly, we've got to have absolutely skilled staff. It might be houses, properly skilled staff. And the other important thing, certain people certain people in key positions, they must have the highest ethical and integrity. Ethics and integrity is very important. I feel that what we need to do, which I doubt it at the moment we've got this, is that we should get psychologists, something to draw up, whereby we see people, you can vet people before you employ them at the stage of employment, to see whether this person over here will side towards corruption or is dedicated to the state. You must be loyal. Your patriotism must be with your country. Your patriotism must be with the people. When you join public service, your whole purpose must be to serve your country and not to see how you can make money out of the country. That is one, that is important. So you must get the right people. You must have the right infrastructure. Make sure your infrastructure is handled properly. And build on the infrastructure. What was given to us, and we must continue building and taking it to a world class country. That's the one thing. The other question, ma'am, you asked me with regard to the spouses and family. I personally feel that that should not be the case. That is how you bring in corruption into the whole thing. And this country is bleeding because of that. I feel that spouses and obviously children, they should not be allowed to do business with the state. They should be independent. And the problem is that invariably, although you may be ethical, at some stage there, the lines get blurred. So I feel also there's nothing stop a person who is employed in the state to ask his family members to be to basically run the business. But in fact, it is his business. So I feel in terms of legally speaking, there are acts of things in place. There is Parliament which states that obviously members should not do business with state. But then I think so your question is very, very valid in that you state now it's not just the members or the employee, but the family. So I think there maybe something needs to be done. Although I think so, the Public Service Commission they did have a workshop. I think so with the CIPC etc. And they stated, well, you know, they look at normally the identity numbers and see whether it's a thing. But with the family members, I feel maybe there should be some sort of disclosures at the outset when you're being employed by the state. You should put who your family members. Put your ID numbers over there on the Z83 form. You should put that down so that if at any stage you get your family members involved over there, it will start picking it up. The CRPC will pick up this is a family member, or even for a trust. I think they've also got something in the master's office. The master's office is also linked up. So they can pick up, you know, this is the son or this is the daughter of the minister or a director general or a head of department, and they can just drop their tips.
I want to repeat, Mr. Maharaj, if you, I don't want to tell you how to answer the question.
Sure.
But if you are asked two questions, all we expect is for you to give us two answers because you are asked two questions. Don't go to town, but ensure that you answer the question that is. Thank you. Honorable Speaker.
Mr. Maharaj, thank you, Chair. I'm Honorable Sibisi, a member of this panel. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first one with a preamble, it reads, the Constitution directs the public service to be professional, accountable, and development orientated, and the NDP further amplifies this constitutional directive by identifying specific steps that need to promote the values and principles across public administration. Therefore, the questions are, what is your understanding on the vision of professionalizing the public administration in the country? In your response, sir, could you please distinguish between cadre deployment based on the meritocratic and mediocratic into the public administration? What could be the role of the Public Service Commission in ensuring professionalization of the public administration is institutionalized? My last question is, again with a preamble, maladministration and corruption are concerns so ingrained in the public service, has become the new normal, and it's impacting negatively on the development in this country. The question is, what causes corruption and how can the PSC play a meaningful role in preventing, reducing, and keeping corrupt practices in the public service? Please indicate current weakness in the system and propose your solutions in your response. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sibisi. In respect of the question of professional or a highly professional organization in terms of the constitutional mandate, the one of the functions of the Public Service Commission is that when it comes to human resources, it is they have a oversight function in respect of recruiting human resources and vetting them. So, in that sense, the public service, in order to fulfill the constitutional mandate. They should play a bit, they should play a much more active role in make sure that those that are employed in senior positions, like sort of director generals, etc., they should make sure that these people are very high caliber people, and make sure that they have the necessary qualifications for the job, and they must obviously highly ethical, and they must be people of integrity. That is the only way. My personal opinion is how we will be definitely able to have a world-class society and world-class organization if we make sure that the people that that is employed, and that is the function of the Public Service Commission. They need to be part of it. However, that is not happening. I suppose because they feel it is felt that the Public Service Commission is sort of policing and etc., which obviously the Public Service Commission they should do the job without fear, favor, or prejudice. So I feel that they have the constitutional mandate to do that. In respect of the corrupt practices, there are lots of examples of the corrupt practices. I mean, one look at the one Eskom with Transnet, the laws are there in place. There is the in terms of PAMA, Public Administration Management Act, I'm not too sure the section there. These section in terms of the act there, which criminalizes these corrupt practices and where they do where you get these people doing business with the state when they were not supposed to do that. So my personal take is that the organization should become proactive. They should in fact put more staff. I think each department, what should happen is that the Public Service Commission, they should put people there to monitor. If you're not with one, you should put two people in each organization, so that they can perform oversight function. They can see what is happening in the organization, and they can report to the head of the organization, whether it's justice, whether it's the police, or wherever they are, they can report back, and thereafter that the organization can make its recommendations and findings to Parliament.
Honorable Koma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Mr. Mahawaj.
Morning,
Mr. My name is Osina Komani, the member of this committee and this panel. I had so many questions for you, but I'm tempted to ask only two. my first question would then be, professionalization of the public service can happen as a function of meritocracy, which is system of appointing or promoting staff based on the knowledge and skills. My question to that would then be, as a commissioner of the PSC, how do you advise government departments to institutionalize meritocratic ethos and in the administration of the state in order to achieve professional service? My last question would then be, how do you think the PSC can strengthen its own oversight and the oversight by Parliament? Thank you very much.
In respect of the first question, what we've got to decide if a certain job or a certain appointment has to be made. It's important for the organization to first investigate and see exactly what the job entails, and thereafter that day, when it goes on the selection process. I mean, there was a whole article written down regarding the selection, I think, by the previous chair person, Mr. Stan Sankema. He wrote a whole article on it says that you've got to get the right person for the job, and the way you do it, the way you advertise for the job, the screening processes that is involved, you go through in a detailed manner, and you have your deadlines, etc., your targets, so that at the end of the day, you make sure that when screening a person, the proper person is got with the minimum amount of time, and the person that is chosen must obviously have, we must ensure that the person has integrity, and so hence we must make sure that we do due diligence. We sometimes maybe best also to make sure that you get a ethics committee which deals with that day. The second part of the question was regarding oversight. In terms of the mandate, the portfolio committee has also is also entrusted with the oversight of the various organizations which make up the administration. The problem is again is that staffing is the biggest problem there, in the sense that not much is being done to go into the various organizations and do the due diligence and check what is happening, how the projects are being handled, whether there's been proper due diligence when it comes to the tendering, etc. So in terms of oversight, the commission needs to go into these organizations, check up what's happening there, and also to make sure to see exactly what projects which are being done, whether the financial accountability, etc. So that is the only way in which we'll be able to make sure that the organization, that the various public administration bodies know that, you know, the Public Service Commission, they are here, they are checking up on us, and we obviously, they, as far as possible, we will be able to nip any corruption or even not corruption, wasteful expenditure, etc. If the public service organization is there all the time, so to speak.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, sir. My name is Leon Schreiber, another member of this committee. I've got one question from my side, starting with a brief preamble. It is believed that a responsive, ethical, and values-driven public service depends on, among other things, the investigative function of the PSC on public administration malpractices, particularly in the areas of irregular appointments and curbing of corruption in government departments. The question is, how can the PSC strengthen its role of investigation of unethical conduct and play a meaningful role in assisting government to curb corruption in public administration? Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
In respect of this question here, when it comes to corruption, as I've also indicated earlier, the most important thing is that the manner in which people are appointed, we must make sure that people with integrity, the screening process is very, very important. We must make sure that the person, those that are shortlisted, etc., they are the best candidates, and proper vetting, etc., is done prior to that. But however, in the event that where at the end of the day we find that people are involved in corrupt practices. Then, what other organizations and the Public Service Commission, in terms of the mandate, the all other organizations have to work hand in hand with the Public Service Commission. That is, whether it's justice, whether it's police, whether it's health, whether it's agriculture, they all have to work. So, in that sense, there is that we've got the if there's any problems there, the Public Service Commission can easily go to the NPA, to the that's the Director of Public Prosecution. It can go to the Department of Justice, etc. There are acts in place also, which make sure that that corruption amongst the civil servants will obviously be acted upon without fear or favor by the prosecution authorities. So my answer to that question is that we should not fear the Public Service Commission. Should not fear. It should actually have teeth, and it should go. It should report the organization or report the person. However, it seems that due to staff shortages, etc., most probably it's not being done. And I feel that the organization should not hesitate to investigate these malpractices.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Mr. Maharaj.
Morning,
Mr. Maharaj. There is a huge loss of public monies due to corruption, especially with public servants doing business with the state. In your own opinion, how could public servants be stopped from doing business with the state, since there is legislation already preventing this practice, but yet it still goes on? Can you briefly tell us how are you going to make sure that public servants, they don't do business with the state? Thank you, Chair.
Ma'am? Firstly, public servants, in terms of acts of parliament, if I'm not mistaken, is that they cannot do business with the state. And if I'm not mistaken, the President Cyril Ramaphosa, I think, said one of the stoners, had said it is a criminal offence. It has been criminalized. But the problem is that nobody is doing anything about that. Now, the thing is that the Public Service Commission, it's, as I've also indicated earlier on, is that it is also part of the recruitment and it's part of investigating what goes on as far as human resources is concerned. Now, the thing is that, in terms of the Labor Relations Act, the Public Service Commission needs to go and say, well, listen here, this person here, it is a misconduct. Apart from it being criminal, it's a misconduct. The organization needs to start forming a charge sheet. And obviously, it first has to do its investigation to find out, well, listen, yes, this person has done this, it's basically doing business with the state, it's not supposed, it has to do a whole investigation. And after it finds out that it's done a proper investigation and it's got all the authorities to assist, then after it charges the person. And one of the important things is when the person is charged, especially if you've got very good evidence against the person, but I'm concerned the person should be suspended immediately. Irrespective of what, you do not have the person sitting down in office over there when the person has flagrantly, you can see, he's done something wrong. By keeping the person there, you are tampering with evidence. These people, what they start doing, they start interfering with the witnesses of the state. And so therefore, in terms of the Labor Relations Act, the government has got all the rights to suspend the person out there. You suspend the person and you do a hearing, and after that day you get rid of the person. The bad apple, you get rid of them. That is my personal take on this question. You get rid of the person by means of the law, by means of the Labor Relations Act, which the government can use, that the Public Service Commission can make those recommendations. This is what needs to be done.
the person needs to be charged for misconduct and taken out.
Mr. Maharaj, is there any question you want to put to the panel?
Yeah.
Relax. I see that you...
Question 10.
Oh, I haven't asked question 10. Sorry, Mr. Maharaj. Relax and take note of this question that I'm going to. Don't be nervous, please. We want to ensure that applicants are relaxed, they listen to the questions properly, and give the best of their answers so that at the end, as the committee, we are able to get the best out of the best. Please relax. I will start off with the preamble to the question I'm going to put to you. The power to appoint in South Africa is assigned by Section 3, subsection 7 of the Public Service Act. Ministers or MECs can delegate the power to officials within departments. So my question is in two parts. The first part, what are the major obstacles in the recruitment system in the public sector? Is the public sector recruitment system effective in order to ensure professional and capable state? The second part, what can be the role of the Public Service Commission in eliminating unethical practices in the recruitment system in order to ensure that public servants are appointed based on merit? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The question of the first question of delegation, the problem which I foresee there is that sometimes you may get the second in charge or third in charge because the function has been delegated. The person delegated to appoint the staff, that person may not have the real insight, like, say, for example, like the head of office or the director general, whoever the senior person is, who is responsible for choosing the person. So my thing is that my personal thing is that if you are in charge of choosing the person, due to your years of service, your professional qualifications and your experiences, etc., the right person should actually do the employment of the person, because the thing is that they will be able to select the right, correct candidate. The problem is that sometimes when you give it to junior people to do the task there, they may, without committing any wrong, but they may not choose the correct person. So as a result, you may get some very good candidates there, but however, because the selection process was not right, the person that was doing the choosing of the candidate of there was did not have the sort of insight, I would say, and then as a result of that, you may not get the right person being appointed. With regard to the second question there of unethical, etc., the problem what we face over there is that you get sometimes, because you get political appointments, and that I feel is one of the biggest obstacles when it comes to running efficient public administration. When it comes to appointments, we should make sure, or the Public Service Commission, it is an independent body, and it should not it's accountable to Parliament and nobody else. So my personal take is that it should make sure that it handles that portfolio properly without favor or fear, in the sense that when
when it comes to the choosing of the candidate, as the organization here, as you said, we've got the Public Service Commission is made up of not one person, but it's made up of a whole team of people, and it should not take instructions from somebody from the top, whereby it says, well, certain person should be appointed. It should work independently, and so that the right person is appointed for the job.
Mr. Maharaj, I skipped question 10. Let me go back to what I asked earlier. Is there any question you want to put to the interview panel?
It's not a question, but it's just from what my from what my own take is that I think it's the responsibility which the public service has is a very big responsibility. It's sort of although it's not said, it sort of carries the nation in the sense of it has a huge responsibility oversight when it comes to the human resources, when it comes to accountability, transparency, etc. So the thing is, I feel that it needs more people. It needs to get people, highly ethical people. It to make sure that those people that are put in those top posts, those big director general posts, and it comes with people that are involved when it comes to these procurement posts, etc. The Public Service Commission should be involved in those things in every department where procurement is involved. They should have people sitting down there, and these people there should have highly ethical people whose job is not who join the public service because of being a public servant, and not because of they want to enrich themselves or enrich their family. It must be pure dedication. It's like those days in my existing perception is those Russian days, they whereby you swear your allegiance to the state, and you only work for the state, and you do not want anybody to rob the state, not even your own brother or your sister. You must work with loyalty, you must be patriotic to your...
Thank you, Mr. Maharaj. I'm compelled now to interject, because the question was very simple to say to you, is there any question you want to put to the panel? If you don't have, you have to say you don't have. But you have answered in the manner you have, and I can't take away that answer from you. That's your answer. I want to thank you very much. Of course, we have a number of candidates that we are interviewing today. You will be informed of the outcome of this interview by the Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You are released.
Thank you very much. Thank you.